Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Kevin Inafuku. It was presented in July of 2012. The title of the message, The Heart of Paul.
Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't know about you, but my heart's already been moved by the heart of our Father. Loves us so deeply, cares for us. The act that He demonstrated of sending His Son for us, we don't deserve that. Just being a new father myself, I'm kind of understanding it a little bit. And it's amazing the amount of love that God gives to a father for His child. He loves us, and God is love. In Him is love. And really, that's what we want to talk about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is basically the heart of Paul, which is the heart of God. And there's so much emotion in this chapter. As I think about the heart of Paul, as he shows his love for the church of Corinth and the fact that he's writing these letters because he really does love them. He's been addressing issues, and we've walked through issues that aren't fun to talk about. And some of us have been sitting through these issues, and as we're listening to these issues, it's like, oh man, how do we respond? Well, here's Paul in chapter 11 and chapter 10, and he walked through some things in the fact that how we're supposed to use a weapon, the Word of God, in casting down imaginations and going through and building up the body and going out. And at the very end of the chapter, he says, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And Paul knew that about himself, that it was nothing about him, that it was God that called him and chose him. And here he is as a father to the church of Corinth. Just as much as there's love that I have for my one child and the fear that I can have that somehow, some way, something might happen to her, Paul has a love and a genuine fear for the people. It's a genuine fear because of what he's going to address here in a little bit, that you're going to be drawn away from the simplicity that is in Christ, and you're going to be drawn away to people that look good on the outside, but they're masking themselves and ideas and philosophies that aren't right. There's a genuine fear. Remember when you first trusted in Jesus, the simple obedience. It was like, Christ, whatever you want, I want to do it. I want to obey. I want to live for you. And that's what he's kind of doing. And so in these first few verses, he's determining to help them in love, but he's being honest with them. And there's a genuine jealousy. And we think of the word jealousy, we think of something that's wrong, but this is actually a good virtue, a character quality that is described of Paul here. But let's just read here. We're going to read it in sections, so we'll read the first four verses together. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And so here Paul is just sharing his heart. Now, can you imagine this whole letter he's been sharing? And as I've gone through, there's some common phrases that Paul has used. But here he's actually coming to them and being honest about the jealousy. It's not about a competition with somebody else that's teaching. It's the jealousy over Christ and his responsibility of presenting this body to Christ, to the bridegroom. And then there's fear, the same way that Satan tempted Eve in her mind and thinking something that was wrong about God. It's not true. he's fearful that they will do the same thing. I look at Paul's role, the seriousness that he took his role as a shepherd. It's not just coming up every week and preaching, but the burden that he carries for his people. And he's carrying this to the point where he's saying, he's telling them that I'm jealous over you. I'm fearful for you. Who are you listening to? What is coming in and who are you paying attention to? They seem to listen to Paul, but they're kind of being led away and led astray just the same way that Eve was in verse number 3. But these teachers are preaching a different gospel. They're preaching a different Jesus, a different spirit. And it was dangerous. These are false teachers. And later on, we're going to find out that they look good on the outside, and that's what Satan does. And the whole point of this was that the Judaizers and the false teachers really had one purpose. They wanted to discredit Paul. That he really wasn't an apostle, that he really wasn't the teacher that he had been for them. Then they're trying to discredit him. And so they made two charges. Look at verse number 5, and we're looking at verses 5 through 15. They kind of attacked him in two ways. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. And this is Paul basically saying, I'm not the best speaker, I know that. And he's not like Peter, James, and John. But he says, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. And Paul is basically just saying, I'm not a fancy speaker. I'm not the best speaker. And there have been others that have been better than me. But I know this, that I've made the truth clear to you. And this knowledge I know is true. And he says, bear with my communication issues. But he says, it's not my speech that's important. It's the truth that's important. And I want to give you this truth. It's the truth that God gave to him as an apostle with the gospel. And so they're kind of attacking his speech, the way that he talks. We kind of do the same thing. We look at people and they're like, oh, the way they present themselves, they're probably not really authoritative in how they in who they are. And that's what they did. The second thing they did, look at verse number 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I've preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, they supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And the bottom line in this attack that they were accusing him of was that he wasn't taking any money from them, that he was taking money from other people. And so in verse number 7, he's telling them, I did it for you. In verse number 9, I did it so I didn't want to burden you. In verse 11, I did this because it was my love for you. It's not a matter of trying to debate, and that's what the Judaizers are trying to do. You didn't take any money from us. Such petty little things. And then in verse number 12 through 15, he says, They disguise themselves as apostles just as Satan disguises himself as an angel. And so Paul is trying to communicate in this section that who you listen to matters. What's being communicated is not really true. It's not accurate. Okay, I'm not the best speaker. And I didn't take any money from you. You weren't supporting me. Other churches were supporting, but it's because of my love for you. I look at verse 16. Paul never really talks about himself. If you studied the life of Paul, you know that for a fact. But it's almost like the people of Corinth have kind of bought into the Judaizers. And so the only language that they could understand is the bragging part, because that's what the false teachers were doing. And so he kind of uses their language. It's kind of similar to like teenagers. You kind of work with them. Okay, I'm going to kind of use their help connect and relate with them. And this is what he says in verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. For you suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though he had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And here Paul is saying they are very foolish to have a boastful confidence, to be proud of themselves in a worldly way. And this is very natural for anybody to kind of just kind of look back and kind of brag about the things that we've been able to do and things that we are. And so here he is in verse 22 and 23, and he says, having said this, he would do the same thing. And so he kind of brings up his heritage, his culture. Verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. So he's saying the same thing. Here, I can boast. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Well, we know that John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3 that there's no boasting in our heritage. Can't boast in who I am and being this descendants of Abraham. And Paul continues writing, and then he stops talking about these things that don't matter, and he starts to talk about the thing that characterizes Paul as the heart of Paul is communicating his weakness. No one really likes to talk about our weaknesses, but it's something that Paul did often, and I look at Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus when God turned him from serving himself in sin to serving Christ. Do you remember when he was there, he was on his way to kill Christians and he got converted? But it wasn't this big conversion experience and then go and tell everybody. I mean, he was blind. Can you imagine being blind in your eyes? It was a weakness. And those weaknesses characterized the life of Paul. It helped him to be more dependent on Christ, to really understand all that he was in Christ. And from the very beginning of his experience with Christ, it was characterized by weakness. And Paul now boasts of the suffering that actually these false teachers have used against him. And it brings it down to the people to say, hey, listen, I want you to understand something. I didn't do this for anybody. And the things that these people are accusing me of, I want you to understand. Look at verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And he says, all those things that happen to my body, but there's more daily that I carry. It's the care of you. The shepherd is the one that helps and carries and leads. And so when he's coming with this love as a father to his children and this fear for them, he says in verse 29, who is weak and am I not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. And then he gives a little illustration to close out the chapter. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascens with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Look at verse Number 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that I'm not lying. Here's Paul. He was almost killed. He was shipwrecked and in prison. We read through that whole list. And his whole Christian life was an act of weakness. It began with blindness, an act of weakness. And he says, I will boast only of the things that show my weakness. That's what started this journey. And this is in total contrast to the false teachers that were coming after Paul and trying to get the people on a different track. Nobody's going to talk about their weaknesses. But Paul is sharing this because it was these weaknesses that later in chapter 12 that we understand that he says, my grace is sufficient for these. Paul saying, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. He quotes Jesus. It's through those weaknesses that he understands the strength of his Father being given to him and of Christ. I just want to share 3 points here. But this is kind of the dialogue that's going on between Paul and his children. And the first point here is that Paul knew that he was weak and useless on his own. The heart of Paul was that Paul knew that he was nothing on his own. He knew that he was weak. If you go through the whole book of Corinthians or any of the epistles that Paul wrote, that you would understand that he would admit that freely. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says that not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He knows that nothing in him is going to produce anything. He knew that he was weak and useless on his own. William Carey said the same thing, and he was known as the father of modern missions. He says, if after my removal, anyone should think it worth his while to write my life, I would give you a criteria by which you may judge. If he gives me credit for being a plotter, he would describe me justly. Anything beyond this would be too much because I can plod. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this, I owe everything. And he says, listen, I don't want anything more said about me. I'm nothing but a plotter. And Paul was the first one. Paul characterized his life was his weakness. He would characterize that. How can he have this unbelievable love for the people? I mean, for most of us, and we teach, and it's easy to get and go through the routine, but to have this love that's so evident, it's so real as you read these verses. But it's because Paul trusted the promises of God that the Holy Spirit was able to give him this love for people, this genuine care and even this genuine fear. I trust that as I act, it will not be I, but the power of Christ in me. And that's what Paul said. And Paul's approach was that I'm going to acknowledge that apart from Christ, I can do nothing. I pray that he would produce in me the obedience that he wants. And then I trust the promises of God to be able to do what I can't do, to do what he's doing, saying right now to the people, and to act, and then to thank God. He thanks God a lot in the epistles. Paul knew his weakness, and he knew that he was weak and useless on his own. But the second thing we can learn from Paul this morning is that Paul didn't hide his weakness. He boasted in it. What does that mean? I don't know about you, but for me, I can just be, I'll be honest with you that it's not my natural tendency to want to just be honest about my weakness, my struggles. When you get in front of people, especially people that you don't know, you kind of want to talk a lot about yourself so that they like you. And you kind of want to get in front of people, especially teenagers, and you don't want to connect with them. So it's like, okay, I want to talk about me. But this is Paul. He didn't hide his weakness because he knew in verse 30, if I must boast, I'm going to boast of the things that show my weakness. And my natural tendency is to hide my weakness, to pretend that I'm better than I actually am. Paul didn't hide his weakness. To act strong, to pretend I have everything together, to know exactly what I'm supposed to do is not the real heart of Paul. I made reference to chapter 12, verse 9. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, there's a difference. I don't think Paul's attitude or his motive was to sit around and just kind of feel sorry for himself. I'm not going to sit here and talk about my problems, but I'm going to admit that I have some weaknesses. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake, not for Kevin's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong? I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Anybody that studied the life of Paul knows it, that he's not nothing. But his attitude, that was it. He didn't hide his weakness. He boasted in it. We all have weaknesses. And sometimes our weaknesses cross over into sin. And that's why the beauty of the church is that we come together and the leaders specifically will come and help and restore those that have been overtaken with the fault and coming alongside of you and helping. And if we hide our weaknesses, they will turn into sin. And we need to be open to the correction, because Paul does, as we've learned through Corinthians, he's very straight and he's very pointed and he does correct. And a lot of times, especially as leaders, sometimes it's very difficult to acknowledge this. And so therefore, Paul talks about that in his letters to Timothy. He challenges how to be a leader. He says, take warning. Even Proverbs chapter 9 says, do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. That even in the weaknesses which turn to sin, that we come after, as Paul is coming after his children, that he's coming to correct them and bring them instruction. Are you a scoffer or are you a wise man? And Paul says, I'm weak. He says, I'm useless without Christ. And then he says, I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to boast in this because of Christ. And then he challenges them. And we went over these two verses in the beginning. And these are the two verses I wish I could spend a lot of time on. But verses 2 and 3. And he challenges us. And basically his point is to be careful who you follow. I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What do I love? Myself. I love me. And then you get the world that's pumping everything into you. The music and the movies and everything is just so boring compared to following Jesus. And then you read a whole list that Paul listed about all these things. Man, they're difficult things that he's talking about. That I don't want to do that. Man, I want to like make a lot of money. And he goes after our affections. What do you really love? What is closest to your heart? And the Satan operates the same way. He's not omniscient. His tactics are the same. And then therefore, when it goes to our affections, then it comes out in our soul. He's captured us. And then you wonder why we come to church and we sit here and nothing moves me. And we were singing these songs, and maybe if you're a younger generation like me, you're going, man, these songs are so slow. But honestly, we're singing about the Father's love for us, that there is an amazement with that. I don't deserve it. I'm a wretch. But somehow Paul always remembered who he was. Nothing. But Satan has come after us in little ways through our mind and through our affections. And he's captured our souls, and we kind of come and we do the motions, but there's nothing genuine, there's nothing real, and we kind of keep relationships kind of at arm's length because we don't want anybody to come close to us, because that means that we might get hurt. But that's part of the body. It's part of learning how to walk in the Spirit and learning how to trust the promises of God. He's going to help us. He's going to do a work in us. He's going to change us. And so this last point of being careful who you follow, it's easy to follow our friends. It's easy to follow these people, and these are the false teachers that are just trying to get any attack possible at the leader. Be careful. Paul never talked about the ministry or attacked somebody else's ministry unless they were in sin. But be careful who you follow. If you're around a group of people in our church that's saying things that aren't true, that aren't right, that's not helping the gospel and helping in relationships, then be careful. Because who you follow is going to go into deceiving your mind and your affections, and then therefore there's no affections, and then it's captured your soul, and then you see people stray away from the body. The implication here is that the Corinthians were following these self-appointed leaders and people that were trying to discredit Paul as an apostle. In reality, the salvation, as he's talking about, they're another spirit, another gospel, another Jesus. It really, when it comes down to it, salvation is at stake. Somebody trusting in Jesus is at stake, or even your salvation of falling away and not even believing Christ anymore. Well, if you haven't gotten the heart of Paul, I've been going through some verses in even in Corinthians. If you look at chapter 12 and verse 15, he says the same thing. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. And then he says in verse 15, I would very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And it's true for all of us. The more someone loves you and they're going to pour into you. And the heart of Paul is that he's doing the same thing, and he's challenging who you're following, what you're doing. Sometimes you don't feel loved. If you've worked with people, you know that. But we do know in the Bible that it's God's command to us that we're supposed to for the purpose of restoring and helping that person to come back and see Jesus clearly and to get back on path and to continue in the race of faith. And he says it again in Romans. He says that he's affectionately desirous of the people. Here's some questions as we close. The questions are, who are you following? Do you know and acknowledge your own weakness? And you can say like Paul that my strength is made perfect in weakness, and I would rather glory so the power of Christ may rest upon me. Are you pretending that you have everything together, but don't? This is a natural tendency. It's like, don't want people to look at you a certain way. But we care so much about that than we do about being honest and pretending that we don't have everything together. And as Christians, we are free to admit our weaknesses because our standing before God doesn't depend on our performance. And Paul, he could boast in his weakness. And when God strengthens us, and all of a sudden we learn what it means to live by grace. For some of us, as he's talked about in other parts of his epistles, following the law, and we try to do everything the right way, and that's really not being honest. The law is just helping us to show us Christ, and be more dependent on Jesus.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled The Heart of Paul from Kevin Inafuku. It was originally presented in July of 2012 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.